Land of Mine, the latest film from Danish writer-director Martin Sandfleet, was a triple winner at the European Film Awards and is Denmark's selection for this year's Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. It begins after the end of World War II in May 1945, when a group of German POWs with little or no training are forced to engage in the deadly task of defusing and clearing landmines from the Danish coastline. They're not hardened combat veterans, but teenage boys, some no older than 15. The film opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema and the Angelica and brings Martin Sandfleet to our show. Welcome.
Thank you.
You've said that your intention was to reveal a story based on a historical subject matter that's rather shameful for Denmark. Why is it shameful?
Well, as probably because as any other nation, we try to portray ourselves as the good and helping nation, the nation that help the Jew flee to Sweden. But I think this portrays that we are no better than them. We try to get revenge, and we try to get back at them. And the question is whether when you treat people like this, like use young boys and don't feed them and don't give them training, is it okay?
You say that to this day the events surrounding the demining of the Danish beaches is considered taboo, not only in modern Danish history, but also European post-war history. Have any Danish historians written about what happened?
No, they've written small chapters about it. It's mentioned here and there, but there are no books written about it, so it was quite a big thing researching about it.
And what was the reaction to your film in Denmark? Were people surprised by the story?
I think they were surprised, but they definitely took it in, and they liked it, and it got great reviews. So,
your title may sound patriotic, Land of Mine, but isn't it actually a rather dark pun? Does it work as a pun in Danish as well?
No, it doesn't. But actually, it was the English title was the one I found at first, and I tried to find one that had the same meaning in Danish. But no, it was, you could say it's kind of said with a kind of sarcasm in it, because, I mean, that's the reason why he says Land of Mine, and because when I started writing it, there was a lot of talk about the Syrian refugees, bringing back the borders, closing down Europe, and I wanted the movie to be kind of a mirror of society today.
Was it odd to make a Danish film in which most of the dialogue is spoken in German? Were you fluent in German when you decided to direct it? The languages, they're both Germanic languages, but Danish is very different from German. It's more like
right.
Swedish or Norwegian.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not fluent in German. I understand German very well. I'm probably like anybody else who doesn't speak a language fluent. I'm very shy when it comes to, maybe after a few beers, I speak better German than. It's a funny thing because when I called the lead, Roland Müller, I asked him, do you speak German? He said, sure, I speak German fluently. And of course he didn't either, so we both had to rehearse a lot.
Although he is brilliant in this role.
He is, yes.
Now, you had these German boys, mostly non-professional actors, to deal with. You had to talk to them in German as a director?
Most of them, the young generation in Germany, they luckily speak English. So most of my directing was we were talking English. But the
That's
twins,
hilarious.
Yeah, the twins did not speak English at all. So that was in German, but it was simple directions.
I won't explain the twins because that would be a spoiler, but yeah. They were a major part of the plot. Germany laid an estimated 2.2 million landmines on the Danish west coast, more landmines per square foot than any other location along the entire European coast. Why so many?
Well, Hitler thought that the invasion would take place in Denmark, and that was the shortest way to Berlin. So he made people make a lot of mines and put extremely a lot of mines there, yeah.
So fortunately, he was wrong, fortunately for the invading armies, but not so fortunate for Denmark.
And for the boys, no.
Aren't the beaches on the Danish west coast still littered with old, worn-down German concrete bunkers and pillboxes?
Yes.
What about the landmines? Have they all been cleared?
They cleared most of them, definitely. And and they just spent a lot of time clearing what they thought was the rest of them. But actually, a day before we started shooting, we found a real mine where we were going to shoot. So
Wow. It
made it all a little bit more exciting and interesting when the boys were lying there with their sticks.
And you shot in the area that actually was demined.
Exactly. We shot at the real location, yes.
You open your film with a Danish officer, played, as we said, by Roland Müller, lashing out at a member of a long column of defeated German soldiers at the end of the war. And although the way he expresses his anger may seem excessive, we can kind of understand why Danes might have wanted to have some revenge against an army that had occupied the country for nearly 6 years.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of talk when I wrote the script about people had a lot of opinions whether he should have a reason to hate the Germans, and I kept on saying that I don't think so. I think it's enough that they're just Germans. That's what people would think. And of course, he uses the excuse of the flag to.
He needs some excuse to get hit even. This guy.
Yeah, yeah.
My guest is Martin Zandvliet, whose latest film is Land of Mine, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema and the Angelica, and is also up for an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. As I mentioned, the 2,000 German POWs who were put to work by the Allied forces, at least the ones in your film, were mostly quite young. Didn't many belong to the Volkssturm, a militia that was set up by Hitler toward the end of the war to conscript those who were not already serving in the German forces, going some of them as young as 13 years old?
Yeah.
Did Germany actually send boys that young to serve as part of an occupying army?
Yes, he did. He did, unfortunately. But I think the rest of them were dead, so he was taking whoever he could. But that's also the point of this story, so to speak, that these boys were probably 6 or 7 when the war started and was brainwashed into. So the question is whether we should blame them or whether it was an adult war, you know.
We began by saying that you called this a shameful moment in Danish history. Doesn't the Geneva Convention of 1929 forbid forcing prisoners of war to carry out hard labor or dangerous work?
They do. And that was actually my point in the when I started researching for this story, that was what I wanted to make a movie about. But then I quickly find out that, well, people break the Geneva Convention all the time. Also now, it's broken every day. So was that enough? That's why I chose to focus on the young boys.
Although this was a suggestion of the British Liberation Forces or the Danish military?
No, it was a British order. And then the Danes, of course, said this was a great idea because then a small country could get payback.
Although they were committing a war crime by forcing them to do that. Had the British offer of German POWs for demining operations put the Danish government into a political dilemma?
No, I don't think so. I think also there's a lot of, you know, dilemmas about that question. But the fact is that Churchill called Denmark Hitler's little canary bird, and they also wanted to show that they were definitely on the Allied side.
Canary bird because Denmark was seen as being collaborators?
Maybe in the beginning. Maybe in the beginning before they saw how things were going in Europe. If you ask me, Denmark is also a very tactical country, even now, you know. Maybe because we're so small and we don't have a lot of, you know, military. It's even, you know, they don't really care whether it's Bush, Obama, or maybe even Trump who reaches out. We will shake hands with the ones that won't ruin our country.
On the other hand, hasn't the Danish king been seen as something of a hero for suggesting resistance against the Nazis?
I think that's more the Norwegian king you think of. Yeah.
What did the British and Danish commands do to get around the rules of the Geneva Convention?
Well, they first of all they draw the POW letters with charcoal on the back so they could dust it off. But then they also called them volunteered instead.
Uh-huh. So they just changed the wording.
Yeah, which I doubt there were.
During the 5-month mind clearing process, more than half of these kids were killed or severely wounded. There were also older soldiers.
Definitely.
You don't have them in your film.
No, but it's like my point is that, you know, if you want to wake up people, it's like when they show images of the little Syrian boy on the beach, people will suddenly wake up. And I wanted people to wake up. So my focus is on the boys. I definitely think that the Germans should disarm the mines and clear the beach, but I think we should have treated them better and helped them.
It claimed more human lives than the entire length of the German occupation in Denmark. Were you also trying to tell us something about mines today? On average, 20 people die every day now due to landmine blasts.
Yes, yes, exactly. I think, yeah, that's unfortunate, but I think more what I was trying to say is the dilemma that happens after a war, that what do we do with that hate, and is it okay to feel the lust for revenge, and what happens after.
Didn't your wife, Camilla Helm Knudsen, serve as the cinematographer on this film?
Yes.
Is it rare for a married couple to collaborate in that way?
I think it is. I mean, but we're very happy to work together, and I enjoy every moment of working with her. And we don't choose each other just because we're man and wife. We actually think we're good together.
Did she work on your other films?
She worked on my first one. The other two, I did. We had kids in that period.
You say that you were heavily influenced by the look of films from the 1960s. Why, rather than films from the 1940s when these events took place?
Well, I think the 60s became more character-driven. The close-up were invented, and together with psychotherapy, and I think the characters just became more interesting. And me and my wife, we've always been very interested in faces and demons and not making likable characters.
But hasn't that been part of the long history of Danish filmmaking? Carl Dreyer did a lot of very powerful close-ups.
I agree. And maybe he was the one who invented it, but then there was a period of a long time.
I think D.W. Griffith invented it. But
yeah, maybe.
Or somebody before him.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that's who I'm inspired of. Yes, uh-huh. Exactly.
Well, it is... I guess the biggest surprise is that the people we're most sympathetic to are Germans in a film that is about the Nazi defeat after World War II.
Yeah.
And that was something you must have thought long and hard about.
Well, it was always a fine balance of not seeing them as innocent victims. I did not want people to think that I was, you know, saying that the Germans didn't do anything wrong, or it was more about, I don't believe in the eye for an eye mentality, that because they did something, do we have to do it, and does that make us better people, you know?
I understand your next film will be for a French company, Luc Besson's Europa Corp?
No, it's actually not that. I've just done a movie in Japan called The Outsider with Jared Leto, who my wife also shot. So
this is filmmaking now is a totally international thing.
It is. I think that's also our you know, responsibility as filmmakers to go where the stories are. It's a circus life, so to speak.
Land of Mine is the latest film from writer-director Martin Sonfleet. It opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema and the Angelica. And you're going to go to the Oscar ceremonies?
Yes, that's true.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.